Want to again greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. If you notice in your bulletin that there is an instruction class that's happening right now. We had our first class this morning with this specific younger group. I want to add two names to that that didn't make it into the bulletin. And one of those added to that is Mariah Stauffer. And the other one is Miriam Brenneman. I'm going to ask you to be praying for these youth. We also have a discipleship class that we started, which is going to be every other week. And I'm sorry I did not have those names put into the bulletin. We'll have those put in at another time. But to me, it's exciting to see young people that want to serve the Lord. It's exciting to see all of you that want to serve the Lord. I want to make some comments about yesterday. We were at Jonathan and Kimberly's wedding. That's what happens. Tom shared a message there on the goodness of God. And I told Tom this morning, I would love if he'd share it here sometime. God is good. We're going to try that again. God is good.
All the time.
Tom shared some things about God's goodness. Something happened this week where those of you who are part of the Ananias House thread, there was a picture shown this week of a family. And a mother, I can't remember anymore, was it a mother of the dad or of the mom that were all killed? And I told my wife, I said, God is good. What about us right here this morning? Let's imagine somebody, if I'm here this morning, was killed because they're serving Christ. Would we say God is good? I'm going to give you a little bit of a different perspective. A couple of weeks ago, I had family coming. I don't get to see family a whole lot. One was from Texas and one was from Ohio. I was like a kid waiting for them to show up. I about couldn't wait until my brothers were sitting in our living room so we could talk and just catch up. And I had to think about that specific thing with this family that was killed. Looking from God's perspective, these are His children. Can you imagine God just saying, I can't wait. And He finally calls them home. From His perspective, that's precious. Not so much from ours. Because our minds are not quite as big as God's. But from His perspective, it was beautiful bringing His children home. That's something I just wanted to share this morning. But I was just really blessed about the goodness of God. We've been going through 1 Corinthians. And as you see on the screen this morning, my title this morning is I Will Walk, You Lead. 1 Corinthians 6, we're going to look verse 12 through 20. When you go through a book in the Bible, you don't have a whole lot of choice what you're going to talk about. So this morning I'm going to talk about a subject that is a beautiful subject, but yet it can be, I want to share it cautiously. Let's put it this way. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 through 20. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members, the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we have the Corinthians here. We had a picture of them here a while back of where they lived, who they were. They had a temple that was up on a really, really high place. And in this temple, they had approximately 1,000 prostitutes that were come down out of this temple at night. The sailors would come in off of the ocean. They could see this temple from a long distance off. So the Corinthian culture was not a very good culture. So here, there were some questions that were asked to Paul, and Paul is answering some of these questions. Maybe help if I get to the right page here. And as they were asking these questions, Paul had to give them some answers. This was their struggle, that they were living in a way that dishonored God. If you remember, we talked about this earlier, he's talking to brothers and sisters. He states that earlier on in Corinthians. One of the questions they had, or the comments they made in verse 12, was that all things are lawful to me. They had the idea that because I'm a Christian, anything goes. Doesn't sound a whole lot different than our Christianity today, does it? I was really surprised. There was a Pew Research done. The Pew Research Center. They did a survey. And out of believers, and this was in 2020. Out of believers, 50% of them said sexual activity outside of marriage is okay. That was 5 years ago. That shakes me a little bit. Scripture is very clear. I'm not going to hide behind any bushes this morning. Scripture is very clear. That is not to be a part of the Christian life. I want to go back to the Garden of Eden for a bit. Tom shared some of this yesterday. God created Adam, and he found out after a while that Adam needed somebody with him. So he put him to sleep, took one of his ribs out, and created Eve. And now we have male and female. God told them in Genesis 1 verse 28, God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. God created reproduction. I think it's okay to say that here. God created that. And he created it, and it is good. When it's within marriage, it is a good thing. It is a blessed thing. And I'm going to give you something to think about. Do a little bit of research. It can be worship to God. I'll leave that one with you. God created that within marriage. Satan comes along. I'm going to twist something good and create it something that wasn't good. But I want us to know at the beginning, God created it and it is good within marriage. And I'll make sure we state that. But here the Corinthians were saying, you know what? I can do kind of whatever I want to because I'm a Christian. Paul says this in verse 12. He says, Not everything is expedient. In other words, not everything is helpful in your Christian walk. And he also says on the end of verse 12, he says, I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I'm not going to come into bondage. Now, we can look at sexual sins and say, oh, that's all he's talking about. But he says in verse 13, he kind of gives an idea here, an example. He says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. They had issues with what food they ate. We understand that. That was listed here earlier on. But the idea that even outside of sexual sins, I can suit myself because I'm a Christian. I hadn't planned to say this, but I'm going to say it. As believers, I've watched this and I've done it in my own life. When it comes to legal issues, it's easy for us to try to bypass, to step beyond, to do it without getting busted, with the idea that we wouldn't state this, but we're Christians. Can I state it this way? Because we're Christians, we should follow the law. Sorry, that one was free. That one's not in my notes. But as believers, we are to be an example to the law. We are to be a people, actually a people that our local law looks to and realizes, wow, they honor us. I believe that's pretty important. What God created in marriage is good, was good then, it is still good. Now here's an interesting thought. When it comes to sexual sin or any other sin, we don't dive in head first and all of a sudden it's there. It begins slowly. I think that's something we need to keep our thinking on. It begins slowly. Satan gets us to think that it's okay, it's just small. But it continues to grow. And all of a sudden we're at a place we never expected that we would be. God has an answer for us. The end of verse 13 says, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The body is for the Lord. The word body here, he's talking about our physical body, is for the Lord. You and I were created. We were created for him. But he also says at the end of that verse there, he said, and the Lord for the body. So it's a two-way street. We're created for him. He was created for, verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. So we're created for him for worship, to walk in his ways, and he's created. I say he's created. He is there for us to raise us up. God was not created. I may have stated that. That's not what I meant. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath raised both up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. In our class this morning back here, we were talking about what we can do ourselves to bring us justification. Nothing. It has to come from him. I can't do that. Nobody else can either. It has to come through Christ. Let's go to verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Now, I struggle a bit with the idea that my body is a member of Christ, but when the Holy Spirit comes, when we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and he lives within us. So now I'm a part of his body. And he's asking then, should we take our body where the Holy Spirit dwells and use it outside of what he has created it for? He says, God forbid. I say, absolutely not. I believe that's what that means there. Then in the next two verses, he talks about joining. I want us to think about these two verses. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. That's in Genesis. He talks about in marriage that two become one flesh. When there is a connection with another person outside of marriage, they become one flesh, just like as it is in marriage, there's one flesh. But it says in verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. His spirit comes and lives within us, part of him. So now we have a connection there between us and God. He's part of us and we're part of him. That happens at the new birth. And by the way, I want to share this. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you don't get a percentage of him. What do you get? Somebody tell me what we get when we receive the Holy Spirit. How much? We receive all of him. Can I say it this way? As we continue our walk and we continue to surrender more and more to him, there's a deeper relationship. There's a teaching out there today that maybe we don't receive all of him. We got to do some things to get the rest of it. No, he gives us all of him. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in factions. But I do believe as we continue to surrender our lives to him, that there is a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit that we experience. When I think about in verse 15, we're going to back up just a little bit here. But when I think about being members of the body of Christ, I think about being together. Our family. Your family. There's a togetherness that happens. We eat together. We play together. We pray together. There's a togetherness that happens in the family. And I have to think about the family of God. We're a small part of it right here. It's larger than us. We're talking about having fun camping, and it is work. But that weekend, I think there's going to be some playing together. I don't expect to win any of those games. I'm not so good at throwing a bag at a little bitty hole. But we're probably going to be playing together. We're going to pray together. And we're going to eat together. That's togetherness. Verse 16 and 17 that I just read. I'd like to read Romans 8, verse 8 through 11, and I don't have any of this on the overhead. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And then he says, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That verse shakes me. If I do not have the Holy Spirit within me, I am not his child. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's a beautiful verse. Let's go to verse 18. Flee fornication. Flee is the idea of run. Go the other way. Let's imagine for a minute that you're an ant. A tiny little ant. And you're going to where you get food every day. You're going the same route. And as you go, there is a very, very deep hole. And you've fallen into that hole so many times. You continue to go that same route. That same hole is always there. And you keep falling and falling into that hole. And you have to work your way back out. What if that ant chose to find a different route? So you and I, we find these places where we trip up, don't we? Maybe we need to look at our GPS, spiritually speaking. See if we can find a different route. No, we don't bypass Christ. But the temptation that's there, take a different route instead of past that specific temptation. And we can find that through prayer, through seeking Christ. And He will give us direction. I walk, you lead. We're walking through this life. We're looking for leadership from Christ. Many of us turn that one around. I lead, and we hope that Christ walks with us. No, we walk through life, and we allow Him to lead us. So now we've talked about the body here. This being our personal body. If we back up a little bit in 1 Corinthians 6, 3, verse 16, I'll just read this real quick. There he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Here he's using the word "ye," and he's using the word "you." And that in that section, he's talking about the body collectively. So the scripture we were in today, he's talking about the body individually. 1 Corinthians 3, he's talking about the body collectively. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" So I told the class this morning, we got a whole bunch of temples sitting in the circle there. We are His temple. He comes and He lives within us. So individually, we are a temple. But here he's saying, now collectively, you're also a temple. And the Spirit dwells amongst you. I like to think of the idea that Calvary Chapel here this morning is a temple for the Lord. Because collectively, we make a temple. Now my question is, when people see the temple here, what are they really seeing? Are they seeing a people that are walking with the Lord? A people that are not wanting the temple to be defiled? I didn't finish reading that verse, those verses there in 1 Corinthians 3. Let me finish reading those verses. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." I cannot in any way make myself holy. But God can. Anything that I have within me that even seems close to holiness is because of His Spirit living within me. And that's for all of us here this morning. Yes, we live for Him. But we do not have within us what it takes to make us holy. But He does. And He wants that in our hearts. He wants the Spirit. He said, "I'll leave the Spirit when I leave." And through that, we can be holy. Verse 19 and 20. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." All of us have been bought. We've been redeemed. Jesus came to this earth. It's an old story, but it's a story worth repeating. He was willing to come to this earth to give His life, to shed His blood, to buy us back. Romans 14:7 says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." We don't have what it takes. We belong to God. So the question I guess I look at this morning, if I am His temple, if my body is His, am I willing to say yes and be a vessel for Him to use? The fact is, if I say yes, I'm committing to something else too. Because I'm committing myself to be in the vessel that He chooses. Not that I choose. God calls each one of us exactly where we're at to be used for His kingdom. We're looking at ordination here soon. My prayer is that God puts a calling on somebody here. That you sense that calling within you. There's times we like to choose how we serve. And we do have choice sometimes. But to be very honest, there's times we like to tell God, no, use me in another way. I don't want to be an usher this morning. I'd rather not do sound like Judd's doing this morning. God calls us. Maybe just for today, He's calling us to a specific thing. Maybe it's for life. But the best thing we can do is to tell God yes. Because He wants to use us for His kingdom. One of the things that we struggle with it's easy for us in our culture, and again, I don't want to belittle our culture. I love our culture. But it's easy for us in our culture to feel like we can do something to earn brownie points. That doesn't take away the fact that we do good works because we have been created for good works. But within the bounds of being His children, I want to read Romans 3, verse 20 through 26, and I'm going to read this in the NLT. Romans 3, verse 20 says, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands." And he's talking here about the old law. "The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago." Let's grab the next verse. "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ." I want to proclaim that here this morning. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness. For He Himself is fair and just. And He declares sinners to be right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. We have to realize that last phrase. When they believe in Jesus. None of us are going to go to heaven on the coattails of Daddy. It ain't going to happen. But we all have to make that choice. Are we going to walk with Him? Are we going to walk our own personal pathway? Since we are called to be His children, we're included in His family. He wants us to be useful in His kingdom. I shared this not too long ago, but I'm going to share it again. As a follower of Christ, there's something that's going to be reflected in my life, and I have to remind myself over and over of this, and I'm sure you do too. But out of our lives should come gratitude, thankfulness. I believe thankfulness is something that speaks louder to those that we meet throughout the week. Here's a few things that medically they say happens, and I just shared these not long ago. When I have thankfulness and I live my life in a thankful way, it can lower your stress level. We all need that, don't we? Thankfulness can lower your stress level. It can improve your sleep. When we lay down with a thankful attitude, we can have a better night of sleep. That benefits us all. It'll change your relationships. It can change our relationships with our brothers and sisters right here when we have a thankful attitude. It can even lower your blood pressure when we have thankfulness within us. Thankfulness within my heart can make or break who I'm trying to share with others. Now, I read this verse before, Romans 8 and 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So I shared that verse before, but I want us to think about a few things that happen within our lives when we have the Holy Spirit living within us. The first thing that happens is Acts 1:8. He talks about power there, the power that we receive to be witnesses. So when we have the Holy Spirit within us, we're going to be a powerful witness for Him. Ephesians 1 talks about being sealed. We are sealed to the day when He's going to give us the inheritance. Romans 8:26 talks about Christ helping us in our infirmities. He is there to help us through the Spirit in our weaknesses. And then we have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just going to mention those really quick, and we're going to come to a close here. The first fruit that is listed in Galatians 5:22 and 23 is love. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." The next one is joy. Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." The next one's peace. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The next one's long-suffering. "With all lowliness and meekness," Ephesians 4:2, "with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." That is showing patience. I get a bit impatient sometimes, and I'm guessing you do too. But that's part of this, is being patient. Gentleness, Philippians 4, verse 5. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The word moderation there has the idea of being considerate, being gentle with those around us. Faith, without faith it is impossible to please Him, Hebrews 11, 6. Meekness, Titus 3, 2 says, "To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." That's not weakness, that's strength. Controlled strength. Being meek. And the last one of the list is temperance, which is self-control. 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Self-control. That's a tough one, ain't it? Again, coming back to our title, "I will walk, you lead." Can you take me to the last screen there? We belong to Christ. Our bodies are His. We are His temple. He is to be glorified. It's not to be turned back to any of us. It's Him. And so we walk. And we ask that He leads us. We had a picture of the path there. On the side of that path, there were trees. There were obstacles. He's not guaranteeing that there won't be obstacles in life, but he is telling us that I will be with you. I will lead you. So the choice today is ours. What are we going to do with it? Are we this week going to try to pave our own path, live for self? That's the negative part. Or are we going to surrender to him and allow him to lead us? And the temptations that we face, just be honest and tell him. You know, I'm facing a temptation today, Lord. Would you, through your Holy Spirit, help me through this one? It's as simple as that. There's no fancy words to say. It's just seeking him and allowing him to work through his Spirit into us. Would you please stand? God, this morning we are thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, that through your Spirit, you want to lead us. Lord, I pray this morning that as we leave here, even as we're here this morning, that we would make the commitment this week, one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, we would surrender who we are. We would surrender our earthly desires for what you desire. Thank you so much for the body here. I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us, bless us this week. Help us to be a blessing to those that we meet. Father, we pray that you would receive all the honor and glory this morning. You are so good. We bless your name. Dismiss us with your blessing this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Jay, would you have a song? Sorry, I should have given you a heads up.